The key thing is obviously a peace agreement and getting a peace agreement forward. I mean, the humanitarian situation is a function of the conflict. This is not about drought, it's actually about conflict. And the conflict has displaced a third of the population of South Sudan, which is 4 million people effectively. So resolving that conflict and getting a peace agreement will ultimately resolve the humanitarian crisis that we're faced with at the moment. And to get that peace agreement across the line, you need to have the agreement of not only the United Nations, but also the African Union and the regional leaders as well. The neighbouring states to South Sudan, if they can put pressure on South Sudan and the various warring parties, then you have a much better chance of moving forward. And that's what's so good about this week at the UN, because it brings those people together and they can focus on the issue together.
What do you think needs to happen for the rival factions in South Sudan's leadership and the militias that they control to stop ignoring the plight of their own people?
It is a question of leadership, and it's a question of these leaders actually looking beyond their own ambitions and looking to the people. I mean, South Sudan is the newest country here in the General Assembly. It's been very disappointing to see just how after 6 years of independence, it just hasn't moved on in terms of fulfilling the promise and the prospects of the future that we thought it was going to have.
The ethnic rivalries that have resulted in some questioning whether or not a genocide may occur in South Sudan, they've been going on for a long time, as well as disputes over land and cattle in particular. What can the UN really do to change that reality?
Well, actually, we're doing quite a lot. We've got 17 bases across the country, and from those bases we reach out into all sorts of different communities. In a number of the communities, we've brought people, tribes, cattle keepers, I mean, all sorts of people in different places together, and we've resolved conflicts. By doing that, we've saved hundreds of people from going to war with each other. Now, that doesn't make any headlines. I mean, you can kind of imagine that, you know, UNMISS prevents another few hundred people from possibly dying. It doesn't work, but it's really important stuff that we're doing on the ground with these people.
So there are grounds for optimism, even if the progress is sort of incremental and not being noticed as much as perhaps you'd like.
Yeah, no, at a sub-national level, I think there's been a lot of work that's been done. At a national level, we've still got some way to try and piece together the bits and to get that agreement across the line.
What's the latest prognosis regarding famine, which obviously, as you say, has been a major byproduct of the conflict, and preventing further famine conditions from spreading?
The first time a famine was announced in any country in the world, sort of the last 5 or 6 years, in South Sudan. The humanitarian organisations responded heroically, quite frankly. I mean, they're extraordinarily courageous people. And the famine dissipated. It came down as a result of getting that food in. Unfortunately, other areas are increasing in terms of what we call food insecurity, though people are getting hungry. We're in a particularly good part of the cycle at the moment, because harvests are just coming in. But come 4 or 5 months on from, you know, from here, say the towards the middle of next year, I think we'll see serious problems once again.
There are around 2 million South Sudanese refugees and 1 million in Uganda alone. There are nearly 2 million internally displaced, and there are more than 200,000 people under UN protection. What measures are you trying to take to reduce the number who are in need of protection by the UN?
Well, as you say, a number of the 200,000 literally came in our gates, and we opened our gates, and our peacekeepers protected them. I think it's one of the greatest shows of saving lives that the UN has actually done, to be perfectly honest. But they've stayed with us for the last few years, and obviously what we want them to do is to be able to feel confident enough to go back to their homes. So we're working quite closely where we can with government forces, so the security situation is more stable. We're putting a lot of pressure on the government to say, you get the security right. You ultimately are responsible for the security of your own citizens. UNMISS is in supporting to get out, and we're also talking to the humanitarians to try and provide more services outside of POC camps, protection of civilians camps, and provide the pull for people to want to go back.
What further action or support does UNMISS need from this building?
Well, we get a lot of help from this building. I mean, the biggest issue, of course, you know, in any UN mission is just wading through the red tape and all that sort of thing. Anybody that can do anything to kind of clip that would be would have my vote of thanks. But we've been very well supported by our peacekeeping operations here. They've been excellent. The Secretary General himself, I mean, we had a small problem 2 or 3 weeks ago and I got a call on my home phone and it was the Secretary General asking how are things going and if there's anything he could do to help.
Before your time, there was a serious crisis in terms of the security and the apparent future of the whole mission in 2016. What measures have you taken and what's happened in terms of making the mission more robust and fit for purpose?
Well, first of all, we invited in a retired general with a lot of experience in the field, General Patrick Kamir. He came in and gave a pretty blunt assessment, frankly, of our weaknesses and our strengths. We're seeing our forces stepping up. They are more robust. We had an incident the other day where Mongolian troops, seeing that young boys were being snatched by an armed group, stood up to them and demanded they let these kids go. And one of the armed groups said, pointed to the Mongolian troops and said, "I'm gonna kill you." And the Mongolian very bravely said, "You might kill me. See that man over there? He's going to kill you and your friend and his friend." And they let the boys go, and we were able to return them back to their families. We're peacekeepers in a conflict area. We can't necessarily, do everything that we'd like to do. But I'm very proud of the people who work in UNMISS, and I'm very proud to lead them.